Sunny out there. It's nice. Okay. Let's open up to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Just want to kind of get us back up to speed, what we covered last week. We talked about how Peter had a revelation of who the Christ was from Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." So basically, in a nutshell, what I was trying to communicate last week is that Jesus is the rock, but it's also the rock of revelation. Because without an understanding or a revelation of who Christ is, it's not alive inside of us. And so as we look at an example from the Old Testament today, I want us to get a better picture of how God really intends to reveal himself to each and every one of us. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it's always been his desire. So without further ado, let's jump into the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says this, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was," who? "Christ." That rock was Christ. Let's just close our eyes just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your word, your truth. And we pray according to your scriptures, Lord God, according to your very word. We ask and pray that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant to each one of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the inheritance we have as the saints of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's always good to pray and ask God to illuminate the Word of God. Whenever you look into the Word, whether you're reading at home, because we can read the Bible casually, so what we get out of it is just a casual glimpse of God. But if we read it with a greater intent, we get to see God in a better way. It's a two-way street. God is more than willing to reveal himself to us, but we have to be willing. Amen? So what we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read verse 5 now. "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Look at verse 6. "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." These things that happened in the Old Testament were examples to us. Much of what happened in the Old Testament is what many refer to as types and shadows. Okay, when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, what was that like? It's a type and shadow of what? Us coming out of the world. When they passed through the Red Sea, as it says in verse 2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's a type and shadow. It's a type and shadow. When God instructed Abraham to take his son, his only son, his beloved son, up on the mountain for a three-day journey, that was a type and shadow of Christ to come. So to understand this, we want to see that in the Old Testament, much of what we read and learn from what happened to many of the saints back then is an example for us today. So let's, without further ado, go back to Exodus. Go with me to Exodus, and we'll just start in the 7th chapter. Exodus chapter 7. So to bring us to where we're at in Exodus chapter 7, we know that at the beginning of Exodus, Moses is born. He's born in a time where Israel, which is a type and shadow of the church, which we've been grafted into, Romans chapter 11 talks about how we've been grafted in. And Moses is born, the children of Israel are oppressed, they're in slavery, in bondage. How many feel before you came to Christ, you were in bondage? Amen? We were in bondage. In bondage to sin, in bondage to the ways of the world. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So we were in bondage to his ways. And until we came to Christ, the veil was lifted, and then we recognized who God is, who Christ is. And we talked about that last week. If you weren't here, you can listen to the sermon. So when we look at Israel and where they were, God raises up Moses. Moses tries to deliver the people when he's 40. He fails. He kills the Egyptian soldier, and the next day he comes out. Everybody knows the story. He comes out, and he sees two of his brothers fighting, and he's trying to stop them. He's trying to, you know, tell them, what are you guys doing? And are you going to do what you did to the Egyptian soldier? So Moses runs off, and he goes into the back wilderness. He's there for 40 years. Then what happens after 40 years when he's tending his father-in-law's sheep in herds, he sees a bush burning but not being consumed up on the mountain. So what does he do? He chooses to go up on the mountain. And God begins to speak to Moses. What's interesting is Moses' name is called, his name literally means drawn out one. That's what Moses means, drawn out one. Not only was he drawn out of the water when they put him in the little boat and sent him down the water to save his life, but he also understands that maybe God had him raised up to deliver his people, the Israelites. He tried, he failed. He did it in his flesh. He tried it in his own strength, their own power, and it didn't work. So God, for 40 years, had Moses' heart calm down. Sometimes we go through wildernesses. Sometimes we go through times and seasons where we don't really understand what's happening in our lives. It sometimes is that God is preparing us for something. Something big. In Moses' case, it was huge, as we'll see. Now again, we have to look at it. These things were for our example. So when we look at how God then spoke to Moses when he was up on that mountain where the burning bush was, that wasn't consumed, he said, go talk to Pharaoh. Now the question I have is this. When God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, where was the first place that God intended the people to go? He was trying to take them out of bondage. Where was he trying to lead them? Where was he desiring to lead them? Does anybody know? The Promised Land? Okay. That ultimately was the goal. Because God spoke to Moses and said, I will take you to the Promised Land in Exodus chapter 3. But why would God want to take the children of Israel, or even us, to the Promised Land without first meeting the promiser? Amen? Look at this. Exodus chapter 7, verse 16. This is just before the first plague. Excuse me. Just before the first plague. It says this in verse 14. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. That word serve, does anyone have a different translation, different word? Worship, that's the word. See, God's intention was to bring Israel out of bondage, as it is his intention to bring us out of the world, so that we might meet with him, know him, worship him, serve him, and have a relationship with him. Remember last week, for those that were here, I had mentioned that salvation is not simply about going to heaven. That's not what salvation is about, as much as it is about knowing God, coming to know the promiser, the God who delivers us out of bondage. Look at chapter 8, verse 1 of Exodus. He says the same thing. This is after the first plague is over. Moses comes to him again, and the Lord tells Moses, go to Pharaoh and say, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may worship me or serve me. Chapter 9, verse 13. This is after the sixth plague and just before the seventh plague. Verse 13, it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me or worship me. That's God's intention. That's God's intention even for us today. Yes, it's great to know that when we receive Christ, we will be going to heaven. We're delivered from hell. But more importantly, that we can now have fellowship, relationship, intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Hosea the prophet said this, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, there are two Hebrew words that are used in the Bible that translate into our English word to know or knowledge. And that one word is data, which we get our English word data or data. Data or data, potato, potato, whatever way you want to say it. And it simply means having information, gathering information. And remember what I said last week. We can get understanding of who God is through his word. It's knowledge. But it has to translate into an experiential knowledge. And that's where when we seek God in prayer, it becomes more than just knowing who this God is, but experiencing God. So God's desire for Israel was that they would come to know him. It wasn't just Moses that was supposed to come up to the mountain. And we're going to see that in a minute. God's intention was that each and every one of us would come to the mountain. It's not just for the pastor of the church to come to the mountain. It's for every one of us in the congregation to draw close to God. Now, a mountain is figurative. It was a literal mountain. But for us, it's figurative. You think about climbing a mountain, what happens when you get close to the top? The air gets thin, it's usually steeper, it's harder, it's more difficult. And let me say this, for our flesh, it does get difficult because we have to deny ourselves, deny our flesh to draw close to God. Didn't Jesus say, if any man desires to follow after me, he must what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? There's no profit to it. We have to become spiritually minded, eternally minded, more than we are carnally minded or worldly minded. Yes, God will meet our needs. Yes, he will meet our needs. But let's get to know him. Remember one of the things I said, I think right at the beginning of the sermon last week, about promises, how many of us see the promises of God and have experienced those promises come to fruition in our lives. But sometimes they don't. They don't happen, and we wonder why. It's because we haven't really gotten to know who the promiser is. I've had experiences in my own prayer life where God has literally shown me what his peace is like. And I'm filled with his peace. And believe me, I'm nothing special. I'm no more special to God than any one of yous. If he can show his peace, his joy to someone like me, he can do it for anyone in this room. Amen? God is no respecter. God is no respecter. Let's go for a little journey. Exodus chapter 19 now. Exodus 19, this is some 3, maybe 4 months after the plagues happen. Okay? Exodus 19, verse 1, it says this. In the 3rd month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. So they came to the mountain where God intended them to come. Verse 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the children of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Listen to this. Verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore or sustained you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Wow. So God brought them out of bondage and brought Israel to himself. God's intention was that every one of them would come up on the mountain and have fellowship with God. That was his desire. That was his desire. Let's see what happens. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded them. Now listen, look at verse 8. Here's the people. Here's their response. You know, when I first read this, I thought, wow, they want to go up on the mountain. This is a good response. Listen to this. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. I remember reading this, and I'm not one that likes to read the Bible and just kind of skim through, and I like to understand what's going on. Don't you? Do you understand what God's trying to communicate? It's a good thing to understand what God is trying to communicate here. And we can see clearly that it is God's desire that everyone would come to the mountain, every one of the Israelites. And again, it's a type and shadow or an example to us that God's intention is that each one of us would come to the mountain. Verse 9, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. We don't have time to read it all. But what happens is the Lord instructs Moses to tell the people to consecrate themselves for 2 days. And on the 3rd day, he was going to come down onto the mountain and then they could come up. Okay? Verse 12, let's just kind of catch a few verses here. Verse 12 says, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Now hang on a second here. If God's intention is that they all come to the mountain, why is he saying this? I kind of reasoned with myself when I read it, and I thought, okay, God wants them consecrated. He wants them separated. That's what that word means, to separate ourselves from the world. Paul said the same thing to the Corinthians and to us today in 2 Corinthians. He said it this way, "Therefore, come out from among them and separate yourselves. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, 19. Okay? So I reasoned with myself, and I thought, okay, God's saying, you know, make sure you're consecrated before you come up on the mountain. Verse 16. "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud in the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so all the people who were in the camp trembled." Verse 17. "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." Okay, there they are. The 3 days is up. The trumpet sounds in verse 19. Verse 20. "Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." So Moses goes up first, and the Lord speaks to him. Verse 21. "And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish." And I thought, when I read that, I thought, oh my, what's going on? I don't understand this, Lord. I don't understand. Your intention was that they would all come up. Now you're saying, don't let them come. Don't let them pass that boundary. Obviously, there's something going on here that we don't really understand yet. Let's carry on. Verse 21. "And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through and gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish." Verse 22. "Also, let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come to the Mount Sinai, for you've warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away! Go down, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron, and do not let the priests and the people break through to come to the Lord, lest he break out against them." Verse 25. "So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them." When I read this, I thought, wow, what's going on? And what the Lord began to show me was this, that what his desire was, is when Moses came down off that mountain the first time to tell the people, let's go, 2 days, we're going to consecrate ourselves, and on the third day, God's going to come down, and then we're going to go up and meet with him. And their response, remember what their response was? Verse 8. "All the Lord has spoken, we will do." And what the Lord showed me was this. What his desire was is that their response would be this. Let's say you're Moses, and I'm one of the children of Israel. Moses, what was it like on the mountain? What was it like on the mountain? Did you see God? What did he look like? What did he speak to you? When can we go? Is he ready to see us? Can we go up yet? But no. That wasn't where they were at. They didn't want to go near. They didn't want to go near. Now we know what happens in chapter 20. Right at the beginning, we see what? The 10 what? Commandments. Prior to this, there really wasn't any commandments but one, and it was in the garden when God created all things. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat the fruit of. In that day you do, you shall surely die. It was the only thing God told him to do. That was the only law, if you will, that he had. God's desire was relationship, not law. And we know the law is what? Paul said it this way. He said that the power of sin is the law. The power of sin is the law. The law is our tutor or our schoolmaster to show us our need of Christ. And I could just see the Father's heart grieved that he had to now put law into place for the people to show them our need of God. And all along, his intention was that we would just have fellowship with him. Chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Moses speaks to the people, the Ten Commandments. Look at verse 18, our main text. Now all the people witnessed the thundering and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." They didn't want to draw close. Verse 20, and Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not what? Sin." Shh, don't use that word. We're in church. Don't use that word. Sin. Anyone in this room sin? Okay. John, the writer of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, in the Gospel of John, said it this way. If we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, he says this in chapter 1. He says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though when we came to Christ, every sin that we committed from that point back has been cleansed and purified and forgiven. As we walk with the Lord, our sins are forgiven as we what? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. Amen? That might be a revelation, but it's the truth. It truly is. Now, is God going to be nitpicky and say, well, you sinned, you're not going to heaven? I'm not talking about, you know, losing your salvation. I'm talking about having intimacy and relationship with God. The things that will hinder it are sin in our lives. Now, we think of sin and we think, whoa, you know, what's the first thing you think when you think of sin? When you hear the word sin? Murder, adultery, robbing a bank. But let me say this. Adam in the garden did not sleep with his secretary. He simply disobeyed God and ate the fruit of the tree. First John chapter 3, verse 4 gives us the core definition of what sin is. If you want, turn there. First John, John's epistles. First John chapter 3. I'm going to read it in context. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. John says this, he pens these words, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Verse 4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." So, what is lawlessness? It's the Greek word anomia, and it means this. Vines, E.W. Vines writes this. He says this. "This definition of sin sets forth its essential character as the rejection of the law or will of God for the substitution for the will of self." In other words, what he's saying is we do what we want and not what God wants. Does God want to have fellowship with us? Does he want us to draw close to him? Does he want us to eat this spiritual food just like they did when they came out of bondage? The spiritual food that we have is this, the word of God. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Remember what the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? He said this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking onto Jesus, the originator and perfecter of faith." I know this is kind of a heavy message, but the reality is God does love each one of us and desires us to come into deeper fellowship with him. Going back to Exodus, we see that the children of Israel wouldn't go up. But in verse 21, it says this, "So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." Wow. Quickly turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 27 to 30. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27 says this. "You go near," and this is a reaccounting of what happened. You can see the Ten Commandments there. Verse 27. "You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it." There's that spiritual answer again. But really, did they? We know what happened. When they went up on the, Moses went back up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, literally to bring them back down. He came down, and what were they doing? They were partying. And Aaron, the one that was left in charge, who was supposed to be partway up the mountain, ended up back in the camp. Him and her, they were left in charge. And the people pressured Aaron to make them a god. And Aaron said, "Take off all your gold," and you know, the Bible says he formed and fashioned a golden calf. And they said, "This is Yahweh, we're going to worship this god." Read the account. Chapter 32, 33. See, what happened was, because they didn't go up on the mountain, they changed the image of God. Deuteronomy 5, 28. "Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all they have spoken.'" And this is just after they said, "Moses, you go up, talk to him. You tell us what he says. We're not going up. We're going to die." Now, God is not going to kill us. Amen. God is not going to kill us. He loves us, my brothers and sisters. All I'm trying to do is encourage you with this, that there is so much more to God that he wants to reveal to each and every one of us, that will make our lives so much easier. So much easier. We'll experience a peace, the peace of God like never before. The joy of the Lord like never before. Greater faith. You know, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what does he reward them with? He reveals himself to us. What greater reward could there be? Yeah, sure, we're going to heaven, but I want to know the promiser. I don't want to just know the to experience the promised land. I want to know the promiser. Verse 29, Deuteronomy 5. "Oh, that they had such a heart in them." This is the words of the Lord. "That they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents." God's desire was and is today that we would know him, that we would draw close to that mountain. Amen. Amen. I pray that this would encourage you, not discourage you. God is a forgiving God, a loving God. He is God full of grace, abounding in mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Worship team.